a matter of when and not if. Now, up at ESPN.com, they did not do a breakdown of the Ja 3 colorways, but Kevin Pelton did give everybody off-season grades in the NBA. And I know you're wondering, where did the New Orleans Pelicans finish with the grade? The Grizzlies got a B from Kevin Pelton, and this is what he said. The Grizzlies might take a step back in a loaded West after trading starting guard Desmond Bane, but long-term, Memphis was wise to get four first-round picks in return, including a coveted 2026 pick, most likely from the Phoenix Suns. Adding Jerome on a value contract helps replace Bane's shooting and shot creation, and the Grizzlies were able to sign Jaren Jackson Jr. to an extension that pays him less than he could have made next summer as an unrestricted free agent. So that's a B from Kevin Pelton for the Grizzlies. I think I would have gone a little lower. I would have probably gone B minus, but I'm fine with it. I'm fine with being a B, whatever. Some schools don't even do the plus or minus anymore. So, although Kevin Pelton did do the plus and minuses in his article.
You got Jaren done, and you have acquired a pick of extreme value, it feels like, in terms of the way everybody's written about it, what folks have said, this Phoenix pick. And as you see, did you hear the way Pelton put it? Likely Phoenix. Folks have just kind of chalked it up that's the one it's going to be.
Yep.
Very smart people, including Chris Harrington. And so, because of those two things, it's hard to give them an average grade. It's hard to give them anything lower than a B. It truly is.
Right.
I don't think people are as prepared, it feels like to me, people both that watch this, you know, from the media standpoint and from the fan standpoint, are prepared for the step back. I think this is about to be.
Agreed.
It's about to be a reality check. Some have said, I heard Jeff sort of discussing it this way this morning, as if there's less pressure now because what we are experiencing now is a reset. That you're trying to find new ways to win with Ja and Jaren, and you've reset the thing based on the fact that we were working with a 2-year window at one point you had left on Jaren's deal, you know, down to 1 year. Now that's done. You've reset it. I would say this. It's reset for as long as Ja Morant is playing and happy. Okay? Two things there. Playing, because that's on him, and it's number one above everything else in terms of the roster, but happy and content and feeling like you're on an upward trajectory. How many step backs, right? How many step back years is Ja Morant going to be cool with as we're going into, what, year 7 now? You know, how many times doubling, tripling, quadrupling down on youth around him is Ja going to be fine with that? I realize you bring in, you know, it's not all youth, KCP, Ty Jerome, but let's be real. You used your draft picks again. Here we are. We've got more youth around him. You're banking on other young guys, GG, Vince, whatever it is. You know, so how long is he going to – that's your window.
Right.
Because Ja can demand a trade at any point here.
Yep.
Right? What's he got, 3 years left on the deal?
Yep.
He's contract extension eligible this offseason. That's not happening. We see Jaren was the priority. And so it's good for as long as he's good. And here's my issue. Isolo's unproven. Isolo's a guy that many in the NBA have looked at and said, wow, we love his style. We think it's going to work. It's not proven that it's going to work. We have no idea yet. We've seen regular season, and we've seen a sweep in the playoffs against OKC. We saw, what, 9 games regular season? Sweep in the playoffs against OKC where, yeah, Ja, I tell you, they had it figured out, but we have no idea if they did.
Yep.
He's completely unproven. So what happens if 30 to 40 games in, it's not just a step back, it's 2-3 steps back?
Yep.
Ja going to be cool with that? You're reset for as long as Ja is content with the way things are going. And I just think that could change very quickly based on some of the elements.
Yeah.
Isolo, youth, right? Not being number 2 in the West, which, remember, you were for a little while when you were 35 and 16 last year.
Oh, absolutely.
That was still parts of last year. You feel so far from it. But that was still last year. So you're reset for as long as that happens.
Yeah, no, that's totally fair.
For as long as he's happy.
Yeah. So anyway, that's the Grizzlies grade. Anybody else you're interested in? I think there was one F.
Well, Pelicans should have an F. I think the ones I saw right after the draft, they had gotten an F. Queen got hurt in summer league. I mean, it's, bro, it's bad.
The Pelicans indeed got an F.
They should.
And this is what Kevin writes. The Hawks-Pelicans draft night swap was seemingly the most lopsided transaction of the summer. It could pay off New Orleans, but it's far too risky to be sensible, particularly in the context of the Pelicans' other moves. New Orleans is betting on Jordan Poole being a playoff caliber starting point guard, and has overloaded its depth chart at center by drafting Queen and signing Kevon Looney. Just 3 West teams have longer odds of winning the conference at ESPN Bet, and the Pelicans traded away their safety net now that they no longer control their 2026 first-round pick. So, yeah, no, I mean, I think everybody said at the time that was, like, really, really dumb to do the things they did. Any guesses on who had the best offseason?
I'm going to go, OKC or someone along those lines. Not Denver, did he?
Well,
Houston?
Yeah, so I don't think he gave out any A pluses.
I think Denver's offseason was slick good, adding that depth. My goodness, too, we have to get to it. Did you see the emotion on Jokic's face when his horse won?
Yes.
More so than anything he's had for the NBA.
So the best offseason, according to Kevin Pelton, belongs to the Houston Rockets.
Yeah, I mean, you have to put them in anybody's top three.
He gives them an A, adding Kevin Durant, team-friendly contract for Fred VanVleet, acquired Dorian Finney-Smith.
And Capella.
And send out Dylan Brooks. Mm-hmm. Oh, is Capella in Houston?
I want to say him and Steven are going to make one player, both playing like 20 minutes a game.
That seems right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But the DFS was much more high profile. Yes,
yeah.
Pulling him from the Lakers.
And then your Nuggets got an A-, which, you send Michael Porter Jr. out, you bring in Cam Johnson.
Tim Hardaway Jr.
Tim Hardaway Jr., Valanciunas. He's going to play.
And bring a depth piece a couple of years ago that helped you win a championship, Bruce Brown.
That's right. That's right.
So it's been a slick, good offseason for Denver.
I think kind of the issues that they're going to have are the same issues that they had a year ago. Like, I don't necessarily know. I mean, maybe Tim Hardaway Jr. and Bruce Brown are going to be big upgrades on that bench. That's probably fair.
Yeah.
I mean, and that was a big problem
Huge.
For them.
Huge.
Because you had nobody, really.
And you took them 7. You took OKC 7 with no depth.
And you got Jonas Valanciunas now.
He's the OKC killer. I mean, not Jonas, but Jokic. And now he's got Jonas to help him get through the regular season.
Right.
And more depth around him.
It was
close last year. We already talked about being up in those fourth quarters.
I mean, they really should finish second in the West. So you kind of feel like you got a date with the, Thunder in the Western Conference Finals.
You know what I'd do? I'd play the hell out of Valanciunas all regular season, preserving Jokic as much as possible because he doesn't need a regular season.
Yep.
He just needs to be healthy for the playoffs.
That's right.
I love it.
Your Bulls got a C- and gave Billy Donovan a contract extension.
I'm glad. It seemed like other folks want to give him a B. I'm glad that the Pelton was lower. That seemed I give him an F.
I just really respect. I really respect his Chicago's. They really will just accept anybody.
Building around Giddy. Yeah, that's gonna go far.
P. Giddy. Yeah. So,
dude didn't play defense. Then why OKC had to jettison that man? Said
weird team. It's been a weird team. I mean, your existence, other than the Derrick Rose, meteoric rise. It's been a weird
D Rose and Jimmy there for a minute, and it looked okay. This is problem.
You kind of just been wandering around. I guess that's like a trade anybody would make: 6 championships to wander around for the rest of your life.
Yep.
I mean, I think anybody would make that trade.
Yeah, I'd do it again.
Yeah, I mean, it's...
Even telling me you're going to throw in 2 years of Mike being retired in the middle, I'd still do it. I'd take the 6.
That's right.
Should have been 8.
It should have been 8. That's right. Anyway, that's the piece up at ESPN.com. Oh, he also gave Atlanta an A.
Because of getting that Pelicans pick.
Yeah.
Number 1.
Yeah.
Look how bad they're going to be again.
Yep.
That's off top.
I will say the Spurs, man. The Spurs are going to be a problem next year.
Some folks, for the
Grizzlies.
They didn't think your boy was that great in summer league. I thought I read from Hollinger, but most still believe he's going to be.
Who, Harper?
Carter.
Carter Bryant.
Carter Bryant.
I mean, dude, defensively.
Offensively, he was terrible
summer
league.
He was.
Defensively, he showed it all.
Exactly.
He's going to hit some threes, man. I mean, it's the same thing. Yeah. All you got to do, like we talked about with Mike, just go stand in the corner the rest of the offseason. Shoot 500 threes a day.
Yeah.
That's going to be your way onto the floor.
All right, we got an update on Prime, so we'll talk about that when we get back. Stick around. Jason and John, are you trying to film ESPN? All right, well, the speculation that Deion Sanders is going to step down, step away, retire, what have you, would seem to be misguided. Now, he did reveal at this press conference that started about 15 minutes ago that he has been battling bladder cancer this offseason. But the good news is that he had successful surgery to remove his bladder and is now cancer-free, according to his physicians. That's the report from Yahoo Sports. Can you remove your bladder? Or was it just a tumor from the bladder? I don't know if you can remove but maybe. I don't know. I'm not a doctor. I'm just a journalism major from the University of Memphis. But had a cancerous bladder tumor, and he had surgery for it. And so That's been removed, and he's now been cured. So that's great news. He did not mention stepping away or stepping down or anything like that. You know, awesome. I guess they're answering some questions about it. You know, it's always good to, you know, get a, you know, raise awareness, right? Hey, go get screened, go do these things, you know. But yeah, it seems like we're gonna still have Coach Prime on the sidelines next year, which is fantastic news. I mean, you know, there were a lot of people yesterday, like at Barstool, even that, you know, because he does stuff with Barstool, so I figured maybe they knew. They were like hinting that he was stepping away or something like that, you know. And so it seems like somebody got bad information somewhere. But obviously, you know, cancer is very scary. But the great news is that, you know, it's gone.
Yes, says God. You have no idea how good God has been for me to be here, is the quote I saw from McMurphy from Deion Sanders from the press conference. So obviously he's feeling very grateful to still be alive in this case and to have gotten it out.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, man, it's great for the program, but obviously great for his life, for his family.
100%.
Again. And was it Moss? Was it Randy Moss that's coming back from a cancer scare?
Yeah, it was. I think.
But his wasn't, I don't think it was bladder. It was bile duct or something along those lines. Either way, man, when you can get it, you know, have that scare, have, you know, you think about, you start thinking about life and death at that point when you hear that word, you hear that cancer word from the doctors, but to get up to a point like this where you can get it cut out and hope that you've, you know, advanced beyond its touch now, must be feeling pretty good for him. So I'm thrilled for the Colorado program, but more so for Deion's family, for his sons, for all those folks, man, that probably thought maybe this could have been much worse.
Yeah, absolutely right. He said he's had more surgeries. He's undergone 14 surgeries since 2021. Now, I don't know if it's all directly related to this. I think it's, you know, probably the foot has been a part of that. But he says, I've had more surgeries out of the game than I did in the game.
That's what I'm saying. To have that many since 21 and still feel grateful to God, it just says a lot. Because, again, so a lot of people might be in the woe is me, might be in the why me sort of mode,
yeah,
of those things, questioning, man, how many more of these I got to go? You know, questioning that sort of thing. And how many more do I have, as opposed to just thankful for their existence, period, through that much.
No doubt. Now, he says he will not, he says there, if you see a porta potty on the, he can't control his bladder, is what he says. He can't control it. So, you know, if you see a porta potty on the sidelines, it's real. And he says he depends on his depends. I mean, Prime is making diapers cool. Dude, I mean, everybody wants to wear a diaper now.
I was talking about this with somebody else. If you disarm folks by being able to make fun of yourself like this, it's the same thing him and Shannon were doing about his feet, about him not having those toes.
You're right.
He's doing the same thing here with the bladder. If you can lay into that, you disarm those haters. You disarm those trolls in a way where, man, I've already laughed about that. You know what I'm saying? And so Deion's just, when it comes to PR, when it comes to this kind of thing, he's a master.
Well, and I believe you have to wear a bag at this point without a bladder. And not to get too graphic here, folks, but you were asking about the whereabouts of this surgery. You do need a bladder. You just have a diversion, and it's called a neobladder, which is like essentially your version of a containing unit, and then obviously you're letting that go. So yeah, that's where that goes.
Well, I'm not, you know, I'd love to, you know, find I'd love to ask the question, you know, well, how are you going to do it? But you know, look, you got to do what you got
to
do.
To live, you have to remove it. You have cancer.
I mean, if it sounds like he did have his bladder successfully removed.
That's
so why. That's just his new way of life. It's just the way it goes now. It's better than being dead.
Right.
Better than being dead. That's just kind of the way, you know, I'd have to look at it.
I mean, forgive me. With his money, I would think at this point you'd be thinking about retiring. He still wants to go on. I mean, it just says a lot more about the competitor in him. My life changing even that much. I'm still alive and I'm grateful for it, but I have no bladder at this point. I'm going to be in the bathroom at any point. I don't want that happening to me on the sidelines. I don't want to have, you know, hey, I'm in the middle of a pregame speech and I've got something come up. Many of us would step away right here. And say, for, you know, yeah, it's been a good run for me. This is quite a bit of a, I mean, it speaks to the level of competitor, the survivor that he is, the fact that he's continuing to go out there, fewer toes, now a, you know, down a bladder. You still want to be, you know, you still want to coach this thing? I would just question, it's not your son anymore, right? Because Shiloh's gone too, in Shiloh with Tampa Bay, mm-hmm, at this point. And so it's not even coaching your kids anymore. That's a hell of a will to want to continue to work and coach young men. I mean, it really is, because I'd be thinking, contemplating stepping away at this point and living a nice retired life where I'd go visit with folks.
Now, I do want to, while we're on the subject of this,
props to him.
I do want to say that there are options. There are things like neobladders that can be surgically created.
Well, that's what I was saying. That's the container.
But no, that's not the container.
Well, that's
that's like a new
bladder?
That replaces it. That would like,
but you still have to let that thing out. Like, it doesn't externally go. Like, there's some automation that has to be installed.
So yeah, you have to connect. So the neobladder connects to the urethra,
right?
Which allows the urine to pass naturally. So you would not have to have the stoma, the external bag. I mean,
no, I don't know.
Consult with your doctor on that. If you know, this is not medical advice. I don't know what Dion did. It seems like he is going with the bag, but. You know, again, I do think it's kind of cool and admirable that how open he is and how, you know, how it's like not a stigma for him. Like he's not afraid to talk about the fact that like he wears diapers. Yeah. You know, like that is awesome, honestly. That would be something that I would not want to talk about.
Some people with neobladders have to occasionally use a catheter too, to your point. Yeah, it's just, you're right. Who would do that, you know?
I don't know. You'd have to consult with your doctor.
Yikes.
Rob Doster from Field of 68 is a licensed doctor. He can give you any advice that you need. I think the coolest thing about this whole story is that, you know, Dion's going to help somebody today. Dion's going to help somebody that's like kind of, you know, shy or scared or, reluctant to talk about, you know, what they're going through. And I think, you know, you see a guy who's like the epitome of cool, Dion Sanders, prime time. Yeah, he has to wear a diaper. Yeah, he has to have a catheter. Yeah, he has to, so what? You know, he's embracing it. He's laughing about it. He's getting to do the things he loves. I think that's a really admirable thing. I give Dion kudos for being as open, because he could have just said, "Listen, I had a tumor removed and I'm going to be here next year." Yeah. You know, but he's going into detail about it. So I do appreciate that. Either way, he's returning to Colorado to coach football next season, which is a win for college football.
We hadn't touched on it. We did in the first hour. It was awful news for a family here in town in the Bolton High football program. But Joshua Henderson, 16-year-old Bolton High football player, had been hospitalized since collapsing during a practice on July 7th. He has now died. He'd been at LeBonner since the incident. His aunt, reading from the Daily Memphian story, John Varless writing, Kristen Henderson told Fox 13 last week that he had suffered a stroke that did damage to his liver and kidneys. Several blood clots were also found. Memphis Chippewa County Schools has released a statement that said, "It is with profound sadness that we share the passing of beloved Bolton High School student Joshua Henderson. He was not only an exceptional athlete and dedicated scholar, but also a source of light and joy to all who knew him. His kindness, determination, and positive spirit left a lasting impression on classmates, teachers, and our entire Bolton High School community. They're going to have grief counselors, obviously, at Bolton High in the coming days. A GoFundMe account has been set up to help help the family pay for the funeral. He played on both sides of the ball for the Wildcats, was part of last year's 8-3 team, and Bolton is going to open the season on August 22nd, and it's when the football season opens around here. That have left, you know, that's sort of been the other thing talked about in this story, is how, you know, we start so much earlier than some other parts of the country. I think even I was listening to Jeff's show. They were talking about Mark Giannotto, who I guess now is weighing in from Chicago, but from that D.C. area, was just talking about how, you know, it's going to be much later up there for them in terms of start of the year. I'm a guy who covered prep sports here in Memphis for 7 years from 2003 to 2010. And so I know all about the heat and monitoring it, the TSSAA rules in terms of when you can be out there, and frankly, having to monitor it so closely because you're starting so early.
Right.
With the start of school, we just talked about it. Teachers go back this week. Yep. Students will be right back in here. You know, you've had the earlier start of football, and you've had proponents, you've had folks that have tried to say for a long time that the TSSAA, the Tennessee Secondary School Athletic Association, is the one making the mistake here, allowing players to start this early, that frankly, we should be pushing it back. And they're probably right at this point, because it's all about getting done. Some have said in October, you get more playoff teams in, you can make more money and everything else. All that said, it doesn't do anything right now for Henderson's family. for that Bolton High School family that, again, you know, I'm sure that hopefully all protocol was followed here and this was a situation that was out of your control and you didn't have him, you know, out there at a time that he shouldn't have been. And again, the GoFundMe account has been set up to help pay for this funeral costs. But a terrible story, one that we're, I suppose, too familiar with around here just in terms of what the heat can do this time of year.
Yeah, that is
to football players doing conditioning and drill work as they get set to be back in school and back on the football field.
Yeah, truly a tragedy. I wish I had, you know, any wisdom, but too young, too tragic, 16 years old. Yeah, really, really sad. All right, no easy way to transition. We have to acknowledge that. But last week, you talked about it. Christian Wilkins was released by the Raiders. Now, there was some stuff about settlement and injuries and things like that. But Adam Schefter cast a new light onto what went down with Christian Wilkins and the Raiders. Have a listen.
Is he? How injured is he? When's he back? What happens here with Christian Wilkins?
Again, from speaking to people inside the locker room, I think what everybody's dancing around and tiptoeing around is the fact that when you speak to people there inside the locker room, they say that Christian playfully went to kiss a teammate on top of his head, and those same people said that that player took offense to it. So that's what everybody's been dancing around and tap dancing around, an incident in the locker room where he allegedly, playfully kissed a teammate on top of his head. That teammate felt offended by it. And that's what a lot of this talk and speculation that people have just been floating around out there is about.
Okay, so he kissed a teammate on the forehead in a playful manner. Teammate said, nope, not doing that, and went to H&R and reported this entire thing, basically, is what happened.
I think that's probably a fair and accurate way of saying things, yeah.
So, yeah, but that tells me a lot of things quickly. That tells me a lot of things. So, if that happens in a locker room and then they go and report it, that means the locker room probably didn't fuck with them. Oh. Right? Feels like?
I didn't realize that was in there.
That individual, for sure. I mean, I've you see some different things in the locker room. There are different people. This would classify as weird.
Yeah, I would think kissing off
a teammate bald. If he's bald, it's not.
What if they won a euchre game with the guy, though?
You never know.
Maybe they're playing Blu-ray.
Yeah.
And the guy here doubled the party. He goes, thank you. And kissed him on the forehead.
Maybe it was that guy's. And he's smooching in the locker.
I've never seen it either. But I'm just saying, like, hey, the pockets. This guy just lost all this. This guy lost 40 grand to me. Thank you. Yeah. You know, he goes, let me give you a.
All I'm saying is it's good luck to kiss the top of a bald head. We've seen in the movies, stuff like that. If this guy's a full head, if he's a full head of hair, then
isn't Gruden's boy out there?
Mm-hmm.
He's strength coach.
Yeah. I believe he is. Deuce, yeah.
He didn't try to kiss Deuce's head, did he? It wasn't Deuce. Nah.
If he's a $100 million player, I'm assuming it was like Max Crosby. He's not kissing some practice squad player and then getting in that much trouble for it.
All right. So that is, according to Adam Schefter, that's not AI.
It's from Pat McAfee, by the way.
Yeah, it's Pat McAfee show. That's not AI. That is real. That, according to Adam Schefter, the final straw for Christian Wilkins and the Raiders was that he kissed a player on top of his head, and that player went to the organization and complained. Don't you think it had to be Max Crosby?
I have no idea on the player. This story is... I don't know. This is strange to me because it was supposed to be about the rehab of a foot, right?
That's why that was the initial report.
Mm-hmm. Maybe the Raiders were seeking to try to get the money back.
Right. And that this is the 35 million.
So if you're talking about cutting him loose because he's no longer one in the locker room, that seems like a completely different story.
Right, you wouldn't probably save that 35 million.
And then trying to keep the money? I mean, what are you accusing him of here?
Right.
Is that a potential lawsuit waiting to have? This has danger zone written all over it, terms of what could come out of it.
That's an interesting philosophy, and I think, Jason, you might be on it, right? If you're trying to save that money, mm-hmm. normally in a sports setting you don't intervene with an HR issue of a kiss on the forehead like you would if that happened in our office or like some offices, maybe not even this one, but you know what I'm saying. So like, is it a litigation? Yeah.
I think the Raiders could be using it for cover, no doubt about it.
That's what I'm saying, cover. Good job.
I think they were out on him as a player because you know, he hasn't played and now he's in the locker room, you know, doing these things. Like, they probably think he's unserious and they are probably right. But they did agree to a contract, even if it wasn't the current regime, it was a past regime. And so I think this is, my guess is, this is their way of trying to not pay that $35 million because they don't like the guy and they're just using this as an excuse, you know, to cut him. And then they're going to say that it was a left foot rehab thing.
Yeah, I don't understand how that, I'm trying to grasp how that helps them keep the money when they put out this story.
Well, I don't think this is coming from them, would be my guess. This Adam Schefter thing is probably coming from Christian's agent.
Well, he said from talking within people within the locker room. He said that out loud.
Yeah, he did say that. Well, obviously, then the interests are not aligned here, you know. I mean, he must have got it from, like, the player who got kissed. That's who he had to have gotten it from.
Yeah.
But I honestly, I think, like, who would have the clout to go in there and get a guy cut? There's only one.
Right.
There's literally only one guy in there who could do that.
Yep.
But, like, why would Christian Wilkins kiss Max Crosby on the head? Like, I feel like Max Crosby would not go for that. I feel like there would be a fight. I mean, again, this is machismo. This is, like, you know, we know how the NFL is.
He suffered a season-ending foot injury after just 5 games. The injury wasn't supposed to keep him out for the whole season, but he was seen in a walking boot throughout the rest of it. I mean, you would know more about him, I guess, not playing the rest of the way.
Yeah.
Things came to a head when he was placed on the physically unable to perform list at the start of this training camp. I don't know, man. That's if I'm an attorney for him and I'm trying to keep all of this money, that story would interest me a great deal.
Right.
You see what I'm saying?
Right.
Getting cut loose here, all of that. That story would interest me a great deal in terms of what they could be accusing him of here. This is my antenna are up because I think this isn't good for the Raiders here. You don't want the NFL and everybody looking into this one, and there's potential. It's not just a foot injury that we're talking about.
Yeah,
perhaps a locker room injury issue here where he's been accused of
kissing a player on top of his head. And that's just one thing you don't do.
You don't go to these lengths unless that was of a real, you know, different sort of nature. Because there's always playing in locker rooms with men, even grown men.
Right.
There's a lot of playing that will take place.
Right.
And so for it to get to this level, like that's the other thing that really we're missing some stuff in.
Yeah. No,
here.
I definitely agree. I mean, in terms of you know, his professionalism, and there had to be other incidents as well. Because
do you have the whole locker room that's agreeing with the player that got kissed that they're all uncomfortable now? Because that's
yeah. I don't know. It does seem like a crazy thing, like to say, you know, this is a $100 million contract guy.
Yeah,
like, brought in. We can't just cut him because he's, you know, horsing around in the locker room, right? We can't unless, again, Max Crosby is the guy. He's saying you need to get this guy off of my team. He's not going to play. The locker room, like, I think that, like, that's, there's only one, like, even Geno Smith couldn't go up there and have that clout, you know, as a quarterback. Only one person can do that. So, I mean, it's really a nuts story, you know, yet another free agent acquisition by the Raiders that is just a disaster. I mean, you had Antonio Brown with the whole thing. This guy's kissing teammates, doesn't play. So stupid. We just can't sign free agents. We should stop trying. But anyway, crazy story there on Pat McAfee from Adam Schefter. We'll see where this goes next. But it seems like there could be more than, you know, just rehab to this story.
I saw where ESPN's picked up your men's health and your Luka Doncic story here. I think John's on to something that perhaps could be in terms of off-season things. We've talked a lot about movement. We were doing off-season grades from Kevin Pelton earlier, who gave the Grizzlies, what was it, John, a B, by the way?
Yeah.
But one of those, one of these off-season developments might be what Luka Doncic is doing with his body. John talked about it's men's health that's coming out with this story, but ESPN's picked it up. Others have picked it up. And this huge step that he's apparently taken in terms of his career of I would just tell you, taking a look at the picture itself is probably one of the most newsworthy things in sports you could see today if you see this picture of him. He looks like a completely different dude, almost to the point of skinny. And I had to go back and look at what he played at, 6'6", 230. I'm not sure if I believe the 230. If you look at Luka Doncic at the end of the year last year, remember it was a Luka Doncic that J.J. Redick was essentially challenging, saying we have to be in better shape. John and I looked up and down that roster. Everybody's in pretty good shape except for Luka. You know, so for your head coach, oh, by the way, was in his first year to challenge the main guy like that, you just wondered how Luka was going to respond. And it's kind of like we said first hour. Felt like he had no choice. Because here's the thing. If you respond in terms of, well, I don't need to do anything to my body. You know, I'm playing with LeBron James, who spends a ton on it, but I'm a guy who took Dallas to the finals. All it does is confirm what Nico has said about you, with the Dallas storyline, and confirms their, you know, reasoning, at least they say so, for trading you if you just stay that guy. And so makes all the sense in the world. Frankly, it's scary to think about a Luka Doncic that looks like this, that maybe you could, you know, build a whole franchise around post-LeBron James and have a contender every year. Why wouldn't you? If Dallas could do that makeover they did a couple of years ago at the trade deadline that quickly and all of a sudden turn into a team that's making the finals, man, Lakers look like they could make multiple finals with a dude if he stays this committed. Yeah. We'll be interested to see, does he get the results? You know, because not all the times does it mean necessarily, you know, this is going to lead to some 80-game season for him, some 75-game season. You never know. But does he get the results that he's looking for? And what it equates to is a sticking to the script. Now I'm going to take this as seriously or about as seriously as LeBron James. Because if it does, it's you're going to want to be in the East if you're the Memphis Grizzlies.
And, no doubt about that. Yeah. I mean, that's...
It's not good.
Been pretty much the case.
Just 26.
I mean, that's just,
And his game's never been predicated on athleticism. So you give him, you know, a 215 chiseled pound body.
Yeah.
You know, 210, maybe it's 220 chiseled up. That's with that post game, with everything else that he can do, unfreaking stoppable, multiple MVPs on the way if it looks like this. So you can read more about it over at ESPN now. They've written about it, but it's Men's Health, as John pointed to there, first hour, that's going to be talking about his new regimen. We even talked, you know, what is it, oat milk?
Yeah, almond milk.
I don't drink that health stuff, as you can tell.
Subtle differences.
Water and Coke, pretty much, for your boy.
You know, what I will say is a little unfortunate from that article. I learned this, you know, in the times we talked about it, is that there's a claim in there that Luka, from the writer, that Luka had a 42-inch vertical leap at the 2018 scouting combine, right? That is the claim. But he never actually participated in the scouting combine.
I was going to say.
His vertical leap was never officially measured. The writer used AI, because if you look up Luka Doncic's vertical leap, it'll have that he had a 42-inch vertical, but it actually, AI is confusing Dante DiVincenzo's vertical leap with Luka's, and he's just going off of AI.
DiVincenzo, 42?
Yeah.
Wow.
Oh.
Brad over there getting the vapors.
That is the kind of white athleticism Brad prayed for when he would put down Theo and me before bed and go to making his prayers.
That man, Brad,
he would
over
pray
there
for white athleticism like that.
Dude, Brad over there said, oh.
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 Oh, my God. 42.
The desk lifted up over there. He's bragging a chub. Brad heard DiVincenzo's vertical.
I mean, there is that picture of Brad reverse holding on to the rim up in the sky.
That was
like
off
Michael
of a doghouse.
Right, right. Okay.
I had to have a doghouse lift.
You had prayed for a lift like this. You had prayed for hops like this.
I dunked one time in high school, and I have witnesses, and they will tell you, but it was once.
Yeah. Brad over there sounded like the remember the old Herbal Essences commercials, bro?
Bro, when you hit 50, it's different, man. 42 vert.
Look, 42 vert is very impressive regardless, right? I mean, I'm tripping off the sound.
You're very carnal.
You're the primal reaction.
I am blown away by him, though. Like, some of the white player has come a long way.
That was 2018, Brad. Where you been? Where were you in 2018?
I was in the middle of it.
But look, we had an experiment. We set up cameras to sort of post clips of the show. But because Brad is over there rubbing his nipples while we're talking about Dante's vertical leap,
not legal.
We can't post that one.
Sorry
but
about that.
But just understand if you ever hear Brad go like that again, he's rubbing his nipples. That's what's happening over there.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, it is. I'm disappointed in the AI use. Like you gotta check behind AI still. It's still very much in the new stages. You got to make sure if you're gonna write a cover story for your magazine, man.
Yeah.
Don't be just using AI slop. I will say it's forced on you because when you Google anything now, it comes up. It's AI. Maybe you can turn it off. You know, I don't know if that's, but it's still very important to be Google literate.
Yes,
in 2025. Like even though AI can assist and a lot of times it's correct and helpful, you still need to understand how to research.
Well, I think Brad needs a break.
Brad needs a break. He needs a cigarette after that session. Yeah. We'll come back and I will tell you about another professional baseball gambling scandal. There's another one.
Oh man.
And it's the same team.
Really?
Stick around. Jason and John, I'm trying to find ESPN. Open up a checking account with the folks at Leaders Credit Union. You need a checking account that makes managing your money easy. Leaders Credit Union offers checking accounts with no monthly fees, no minimum balances, and convenient mobile and online banking. Whether you're earning generous interest with Champion Rewards or enjoying a simple account with Champion Free Checking, they've got you covered. Experience the ease and flexibility of a Leader checking account and discover your financial champion for life. Visit leaderscu.com/ESPN to open up yours today. Leaders is your financial champion for life, federally insured by the NCUA. All right, so we have a little bit of a betting scandal in professional baseball, it would appear. The news is that the Cleveland Guardians, who already have one pitcher in Luis Ortiz, who's on non-disciplinary paid leave after originally being placed there July 3rd after unusual gambling activity on two pitches that he threw for balls, He's extended on leave until August 31st, so he's already on leave. Now their closer, Emmanuel Clase, has been placed on that same non-disciplinary leave through August 31st as part of Major League Baseball's investigation into sports gambling. In a statement, the Guardian says no additional players or club personnel are expected to be impacted. The investigation, a source confirmed, has not turned up information tying other players with the team to sports gambling. Clase is a three-time All-Star. He's a two-time winner of the Mariano Rivera Award as the best relief pitcher in the AL. He finished third in Cy Young voting last year when he posted a .61 ERA over 74 innings. In 47 innings this year, he has a 3.23 ERA and has already allowed more hits, 46, than last year combined. So he's having a rough year. But his ties to the investigation started following a June 27th alert from IC360, which is a firm that monitors betting markets for abnormalities. We don't know exactly, what was involved with those with him.
One was versus the Cardinals.
It looks like, yes, there was the Cardinals game on June 27th. And this all started because there was a spike in action on the right-hander's first pitch in the bottom of the second against the Mariners, and then the Cardinals on June 27th. Unusual amounts of money were wagered on the pitches being a ball or hit batsman from betting accounts in Jersey, New York, and Ohio. So they bet lots of money on that pitch, either hitting the batter or being a ball, right? So, and both pitches ended up being well outside the strike zone. So they were uncompetitive pitches. And so that's like, huh. In many ways, right, this is what these watchdog, groups are set up to do. They're here to, in theory, preserve the integrity of the game because I don't want to bore people, but pitching markets, individual pitching markets, you're not going to be able to go bet $10,000 on per account. It's like very low liquidity. You're going to get cut to about, notice they don't say the amount.
It says unusual amount of money.
Yeah. So like you.
So how much can I get off per pitch?
I don't know the answer to that. It depends
on. A regular person like me.
If your account, I don't know. Maybe a thousand. It's not like it's something that, they're taking tons of money on. It's not like, you could go up to a sports book on Sunday of an NFL game and you can bet $100,000, right?
Yeah.
You're not getting anywhere close to that on an individual pitch in a regular season baseball game. Like, it's just not happening. But, you know, anything, right, is going to flare that. It's like, you know, it did catch the Jonte Porter prop thing, right?
Right.
It did catch that. So it's, I think it's good that these places exist to preserve, you know, hey, but do we really think that a three-time All-Star and a guy who finished third in Cy Young last year would be rigging his own pitches for peanuts? Like, I mean, peanuts. Not even, I mean.
No.
I think this is the system doing what it's designed to do.
Right.
Which is find abnormalities, identify them, let's investigate them. And I think that's what's happening. I don't actually think that this guy is rigging his pitches for somebody. I mean, I think that would be crazy. I think that would be so beyond, you know. And Terry Rozier is still being investigated, right? That has not concluded in the NBA. So, I mean, maybe there is some bad judgment. But, I mean, this would be diabolical, like, for no money. Not even, like, these aren't bets on a game, right? Because it'd be easier to rig a game.
Mm-hmm.
Get a guy, you could put probably $35,000, $40,000 per account on a Major League Baseball game, I would guess. So if you come in and the score is, you know, 2-2 and you're the closer, you know, I can throw some stupid pitches, you know. I can get, you know, whatever. But an individual pitch just seems so far beyond the realm of possibility that I just refuse to believe it.
And you have to have motive too, I would say. And like Jonte Porter had motive in the sense that you're not your brother. You have limited earnings potential.
Right.
Right. Your brother makes millions. Like, and you're a role player, you know. So this doesn't have that. This doesn't have those things in terms of adding up here. There is no need to risk your career like this. And again, with the way you've sort of described it as our show betting expert, I think of it the way you've described it as sort of like a flat line, typically, like you see in the hospital. But it's a flat line because most of the time, folks aren't betting anything on those ball or hit batsmen. And just here, you had a few that come in, and it's a blip. And because it's different, that you have to look into it. But clearly, I mean, this ball or hit batsmen, you know, it can just be random. It can
right.
be a few bettors in New York, New Jersey, and Ohio, and it not be some scheme. I don't see why this pitcher would be involved in that.
Right.
And again, why would you have the bets happening if they don't know something from the pitcher? And so it doesn't add up enough here. There's not enough here for it to add up to me. In my square way, I agree with you. I don't think this pitcher's really had anything to.
I mean, it would be
anything to do with it.
I mean, it's a coincidence, right? That these pitches.
It has to be,
you know,
a coincidence.
But bets do win. Bets do win.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it happens.
And it's red flagged because typically there's just not a lot of action coming in on these bets anyway. And so here you had some unusual amounts of money. Again, we
right.
don't know how much, but unusual in the fact that usually there's nothing coming in on this stuff.
Right.
Basically next to nothing.
Right. Now, wasn't there like a big scandal with a college baseball team? Like it was Alabama,
yeah,
maybe?
Alabama.
What
a few years ago?
And then, like, I think he had the information
that
a player
was
out or something.
Yeah, I mean, that coach.
That's what it was.
Folks. Yeah.
A pitcher was not pitching.
Yeah.
And he had the information.
We thought when U.S. Integrity jumped, I think it was on that case and got them pretty fast, that one, well, the fact that they got on Temple basketball meant, okay, they're going to come to a conclusion pretty quickly. I don't think that we ever got a full blown answer for the one Temple player that transferred.
Oh, you know, from U.S. Because
I'm pretty sure it was U.S. Integrity that got
the Sierra Miller?
Yeah, U.S. Integrity busted up the Alabama one, I want to say, the Alabama baseball one, and I think they were looking
for never
tip,
got
but
that.
We never really got to a bottom.
But I'll
there.
Be honest, like, you know, in my heart, I think he was definitely shaving points.
But nothing ever came against Temple.
Yeah, no, they did not. But there's a reason
busted.
He never got picked. Like, he was on Virginia Tech last year and then got kicked off, and nobody ever picked him up. So I think they... And that Memphis game, it was egregious, some of the things he was doing at the end of that game. And the movement was weird. You know, that's the other thing. It's like, I remember because I happened to be – I bet on that game. And I remembered, like, thinking, you know, let me try Memphis here. Temple kind of stinks. You know, Memphis has – you know, they probably have, you know, a bit of an edge here. They can go in there and cover this. And so I bet it at 4, and then in an hour it's 8. I'm like, whoa, on game day, that ain't supposed to, without news of injury, that is not supposed to happen. Sports books are just not going to be that off on a number in February of the college basketball season, you know, in a conference game. So, yeah, I definitely, think that there was some weirdness going on there, you know. Again, that's the thing. It's very difficult to prove. Like, how do you even tell a pitcher, hey, third pitch, eighth inning, throw a ball? You know, like, would he even remember that? Would he, like, you know, I just think it's very difficult to rig that market. And it's not even worth it. If you're going to rig something, do what the Arizona State guy did. Rig the game. You know, like, I can bet a lot on a game. But give me the most important guy on a team and let me cut him in. This is just how I would do it if I was going to do it. Mm-hmm. You control the outcome, brother. You're the point guard. So you know if we need you guys to lose by six, you know how to make that happen. You know, I can bet $50,000 on Arizona State to lose, or, you know, their opponent, whatever. So, anyway, we'll see. I think this is mostly – this is the –